Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Today's one of my favorite days because I get to hang out with one of my favorite people and we get to talk about anything we want to talk about. So I welcome back, although she's always there anyway, behind the scenes, I welcome back the mighty, mighty CEO of Never Had It So Good Entertainment on Blog Talk Radio, Princess Cooper. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm hunky-dory, peachy keen, and all of that kind of stuff. I am blessed. I will just say that I am blessed, and I have to always remember that and keep that first and foremost. So what about you?
Doing really well. I remind myself of that every morning, how blessed I am. I keep making these lofty goals, and God is finding a way to help me and to assist me in attaining them. So, you know, everything is good. Everything is good. Much healthier, You know my struggles with headaches on that, but doing really good.
Good. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. And I guess I want to, I know we're supposed to talk about a bunch of other stuff, but I do want to talk about what you just said about the lofty goals thing. I think that's a good thing. I personally think that you have to have the goal, and I think it has to be where it's, you know, God willing, it's attainable. But even if it's not totally attainable, it keeps you striving because it keeps you at the peak of your performance, at your best game. You're always, trying to think things through. You're always, trying to be positive and motivated. And I think that's important. I think, the reason I bring that up, because I think back on things as I was growing up, and I think about our kids, and I think about the need to encourage them if they don't necessarily make the goal, but encourage them still to keep trying and don't discourage them, because I think a lot of times we may be a little bit too tough if the person doesn't reach the goal. I think we have to be encouraging, and say, because I think if you don't strive, I don't think you get as far as if you did strive for something that lofty.
Well, I think the key is to recognize who you are and what you want to do. And from that point, try to continue to elevate and to never get complacent, and complacency can be the enemy sometimes. But also, we as women, we have a lot on our plate. Not only do we as women want to be in this game of entrepreneurs and in the workforce and with our own careers, but we are still charged by God as being moms and delivering and then being a career mom. And trying to make sure the home is well taken care of and still realizing our lofty goals. And that's a fine line a lot of times, but I continue to tell women to strive to do what they want to do and to continue to keep God first. And he will do his part. He will do it when you can't. But I say to everybody that as a female, as an entrepreneur, as a businesswoman, we are charged with so much more. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we fail, but get back up again. And that load of laundry will be there tomorrow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And don't put too much pressure on yourself.
But I think also it's important that we, the ones of us that are career women, don't discount and don't discourage women that want to be the stay-at-home mom, the housewife, because that it's more than a notion running a household and being the backup for the person that is maybe bringing home all the bacon and making sure that the kids are ready for the world, you know. Whatever you've got to deal with in terms of pets, parents, you know, because we have a lot of sandwich generation now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, we've got to realize that women in all of their forms and with everything that they bring to the table, whether it's, you know, the boss outside the house, and the boss inside the house, although, you know, there's that debate name-wise in terms of who's the boss, but we all really know who the boss is at the house or who is supposed to be. you know, I think it's just important that we recognize that we all come with the different gifts that God gave us and just make sure that we're using it to the best of our potential, and we're using it to glorify him, because that's what we're all put here on the earth for, is for his mm-hmm. glorification. And so however we do that, we've got to make sure that, you know, we're giving it our all, and God knows what we're doing. God knows God knows our heart. God knows. And God makes the game plan. He knows what's what.
Well, you know, I say to anyone, anywhere, whether you want to be a stay-at-home mom, a career woman, or an athlete, whatever you want to do, don't let anybody be a dream killer in your life. You know, your dreams are your dreams. Choose your journey and take it, you know. And if your journey is to, if you and your husband have decided that you're going to be a stay-at-home mom, or you've decided that you're going to be a stay-at-home mom, don't let anybody, you know, rain on your parade. The struggle was real for me, being a career woman and trying to raise two girls. And, you know, a shout out to both my parents who were saviors, you know, while I was working so hard trying to establish myself and then becoming a divorcee, that, man, they held it down in the gap when I was married and when I wasn't, you know. They really held it down in the gap and realized the journey. And I don't think we know, Gretchen. You know, now I'm you know, in my late 50s, but I had no clue in my 20s when I was trying to get married and have a baby, what the journey, just the requirements for the journey was going to be. It's no joke. It's no joke. And I tell, you know, all young ladies, and I know we're getting way off the subject, choose well in your partner. Choose well in your partner.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say with that, when you're choosing, please listen to what God's plan is. You know, because we're supposed to be on that path. So if you're trying to be true to the faith and you're trying to be true to serving God, make sure he's included in that decision, because I tell you for sure, there's no way in the world If I'd been left to my own devices, I probably would have been with someone else and then not with them and probably been in a situation that was not going to be kind to me and not let me serve him. Because there's nothing worse than having someone in your life that is a detractor, that is going to take you away, that's going to steer you off course from serving God. There's nothing worse. And so you've got to include him not only in the marital decision, but in all decisions. I hear this a lot when I talk about, did you pray about it? Did you ask God? What did you decide to do? Did you, just do some quiet time to some discernment or whatever? And I hear people every now and then say, what's God got to do with it? And it stirs something in me. It gives me, like, I guess you could say, the heebie-jeebies or whatever. It's like, how do you not include God in your decision-making? How do you not include him in your thought processes? So I think it's very important that people, when they're, you're making these lists, however you make your decisions, whether you're making these lists or you consult, with other people who have more experience or however you make your decisions, I think it's very, very important that, that God has got to be the primary component when you're making these decisions.
That is true. But I don't know. Well, I do know. A lot of people don't start with that foundation, nor do they end with that foundation. So, sometimes that is hard. But once the revelation comes, it's definitely there. And I understand what you're saying. Unfortunately, some people don't get that foundation early. And sometimes the parents don't lay that. But when the revelation comes, it does come. And it eventually does come.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. We as Christians have to be understanding that everybody is on their faith journey in a different time. The time frame is different for them than it is for you. You just have to be there for that person, and you have to let others be there for you, because all of us are not necessarily at the same stage in our faith journey. So that's truly important.
There you go.
We've gotten away. We were going to talk about so many different things. By the way, just to put this out there for you all, on Friday we will have Kevin Anderson, civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson, to talk about so much stuff. But we did want to get into a little bit of it today. And I really just don't know where to begin, because it seems like there's a lull for a while, and then there's so many different things that happen. Father and son,
mm-hmm.
and I forget the other person's name, but actually, sometimes I feel bad for him. The person that, because he shot the video, so I'm, part of me is like, why did he shoot it? But a part of me is like grateful, because the video was there to show, and the audio on the video on the recording was there to firm up the case for what. And this is in regards, for those of you that, when I say McMichaels, this is in regards to the Ahmaud Arbery murder. And so the federal charges stuck, and so that's good. I'm glad to hear that. What are your thoughts, Princess?
Well, even though the neighbor just got in his car and came down there to film it, he came down there to help those gentlemen. And the fact of, I thought Justin McMichael's, the son and father, were the ringleaders in the racist approach. It seems that whole neighborhood was, and that neighbor was not void of that. His text messages were just as deep and racist as the father and son. And just to hear their conversation, Gretchen, or see that in print, their text messages back and forth, you know, there are no ends in my workforce. I'm so glad. They're so nasty and they're animals. And they're like, the monkeys aren't here. You know, they, so I don't leave either one of them, either, you know, the neighbor or, and I can't remember his name either, or Travis, you know, Michael and his father. I don't, you know, they all were aggressive in their treatment and their approach to African Americans, and it played out, unfortunately for them, in the death of a man. But they hunted that man. They hunted that man. And they tracked him down. If they had left him alone, they said he wouldn't stop. Well, Gretchen, that really gets me, because I have a thing with, I don't know, people tell me what to do anyway. I'm working on that. But they actually said, well, if he had done what we said we told him to do, he'd still be alive. Well, who put you in charge? And that citizen arrest didn't pan out at all. So to have them guilty now of hate crimes, hallelujah. And, you know, shout out to Wanda Cooper Jones, you know, and her thoughts, and that, you know, thank you, Department of Justice, but you were pressured to do this. As a matter of fact, you held off. You didn't want to do this at all. So thank you for eventually getting to this verdict. But this is not where you wanted to be in the first place, and you avoided it as much as you could.
Yeah, and, I mean, there's other parties. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen to some of the other parties who just didn't step up like they should have, or had to recuse themselves or resign or whatever. I mean, are they just going to – have they escaped any type of punishment? You know, that's what I want to know. But I you know, my concern is now is that I think instead of this modifying behavior, making people rethink their racist behavior, there's a part of me, unfortunately, that feels like the mantra now is for them is just don't get caught. Just don't get, you know. Don't get caught. You can do or say X, Y, Z. Don't get caught. And that's the thing that bothers me. I'm looking for something that is going to modify behavior in a positive way and not make people seek other ways to demonstrate or manifest their hate. That's what I'm looking for. So, I don't know.
I feel that the years of Donald Trump really sent us backwards, because it empowered a whole lot of people who maybe had the thoughts and kept them in-house, in their own house, but felt emboldened and became more emboldened as Trump went on and said whatever he wanted to say about anybody he wanted to say it about, and made several racist comments and was still voted in as the president of our United States. And I do take credit for my country, you know, and I think that set us back quite a bit. And we have to take ownership of that. And people who feel this way, don't mind they didn't mind acting out. And we hear the N-word more. We hear black and brown more. We hear go back to your country. If you don't like it, you can leave. And we hear we have to take back our country. And the McMichaels and that other gentleman in the state of Georgia, they acted out on how emboldened they felt. And people of other cultures feel this is their country, when the only ones that really need to be upset are the Indians.
I think we have a right to be upset, too.
Well, I'm saying as far as take back our country. I'm saying as far as taking back our country. You know, people, white people think this is theirs. And, no, they killed a whole lot of Indians to get here. Yeah, we all have a right to be upset, but I'm talking about that. And that verbiage is the the lightning rod, the sounding cry for other cultures, white people in general, it's our country. That's why January 6th happened. You know, that's why Donald Trump happened, because of those who feel that the nation is becoming a little bit too brown for them.
Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how this land, this area, started off were not fairer skin. Native Americans were not fairer skin. The the people, Spanish people, Hispanic people, whatever, in Mexico, California, wherever, you know, all of that area to the west and south, not people of fairer skin, okay? Just and the thing about it is, in terms of African Americans, I think we need a change of thought processes, and we need it quickly, and we need it now. There's no one here, and like you said, excluding Native Americans, but there's no one that should ever make an African American feel that this is not their country, ever, because of the blood, tears, skin that have been shed in the earth of this country, for this country, because of our ancestors that were brought over here to do work that other people did not want to do. This country was built on the backs and brains of African Americans, okay? You had African Americans working in the field and in the kitchen. You had African Americans developing products to make life easier for everybody, not just African Americans, for everybody. Everybody has benefited and taken advantage of it, you know? So if you have someone in your family that worked in someone's field or worked in someone's kitchen or invented something that everybody is benefiting from, you have claim. Okay? So there is no way, there's no one that should ever make you feel that you don't have a part of this country. And especially, you know, if you tell somebody about going back where and why, where you going and why, you brought us over here, you know, we were brought here, you know, and the people who may have been able to go back, they're long gone. They're long gone. You know, African Americans are here to stay. Now, with that being said, we have to be smarter about how we handle ourselves. We have to be smarter in terms of how we handle our business. And we have to be the better, bigger and better person. You know, we have to let our faith rule and guide us. And not saying we need to be naive. No, no one's saying that. But it's a matter of, you've got to use the tools that are available to you. So our children. We've got to really encourage them and be mindful. When they go to school, no matter whose school you're going to, there are tools in the school that's going to help you and make you a better person. We got to teach our children not to get into these schools and mess up our futures by getting into trouble, and use the tools that are to our advantage. And if you have issues in terms of how to use the tools, or maybe the tools that you need aren't there, get someone to help you use them, or get someone to help you get tools that can better you, that work for you. You know, I had this discussion, and I'm not a teacher, although, you know, people have taught me about teaching and stuff like that, and, you know, I've thought about doing some, but the thing about it is, one of the things I've learned is not everybody learns at the same level or the same pace. That does not make them inferior. That does not make them stupid. That makes them different. And so because someone is not able to, let's say, test well, because that's a big topic in schools about testing. Some people don't test well, fine. But that does not make them stupid. That makes them learn differently. I mean, we need to recognize that a lot of our inventors are school dropouts. I mean, seriously, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people that we recognize for making our lives better left school because it wasn't working for them. And they had to find something that would work for them, you know. So we've got to make sure that if the tools are there, that we're using them, that our children are using them. If the tools aren't there, get the right tool, or, you know, go someplace else that has what it is that benefits, that's, you know, going to bring out the gifts that God gave us so that we can use them and not, as the Bible would say, hide them under a bushel basket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think that's really important. Gotten away again, but
yeah, we've gotten off on another tangent for sure, but it's okay.
And I guess part of the reason I'm going there today is because I keep hearing the talk about the Ukraine, for example, and how because of what's going on in the Ukraine, you know, we're going to lose our access to petroleum and oil and all this type of stuff, and it's going to go up and all of this. And it's like, we got to stop getting stuck on one thing. Not only one thing doesn't work, you know, there's other avenues, you know, but we've gotten comfortable with that. Once upon a time, we were a nation that explored and investigated and dug into stuff and created and made new stuff, you know. Now we seem to be a nation that wants to be comfortable, you know, don't bother me, give me my gas, give me my oil. No, I don't want to look into solar or wind or whatever other, you know, options there are for fuel, you know, because there are other options. You just got to look at them. You know, they've got to be explored. They've got to be tested and stuff like that. So that means you got to work. And we've kind of gotten lazy, I think. And so when I hear stuff about, okay, gas going, and I just gassed up my car today, and it was not, it was a little scary. The thing is, okay, I gassed up my car. Prices are going up. I either got to deal with it, or I either got to have some options. Do I want to maybe look into getting a hybrid vehicle? Do I maybe want to get a motorcycle or a bicycle, or look at maybe altering my life that doesn't make me so dependent on the gasoline that I have to use for my car? Not saying that I'll never drive again. That's not an option. But it's like you got to look at how you modify your life to make your life better. And being different isn't necessarily wrong. It's just different.
There you go. being different isn't necessarily wrong. It's just being different. You know, I'm one of those that have, I don't know if I put gas in my car at all in 2022, and maybe once I put gas in my car in 2021. That is something that John handles on the weekend. As a matter of fact, I remember asking him recently, I said, I think gas prices have gone up. And he said, has it? And, you know, he has a Ford F-250. I have no clue. There's just some things that I choose not to be intelligent about. It's my own journey here. And he said for me to fill up my truck is $90 to $95. He said gas is well over $3. But, you know, I go back to this is that we were at the gas station probably sometime in 2021, latter part around the holidays, and there was a gentleman there. I think I told you this, or maybe it was one of my friends, and there was a gentleman there, Caucasian, and he was on the other side of the pump, and he just started cursing and using the F word and the MF word, and he gas prices are going up. Gas prices are going, we have got to get Joe Biden out of office. Well, the pandemic caused this rolling effect of, you know, prices and the demand and the fact that we're trying to circumvent prices and demand. And we now have put ourselves here because of the pandemic. And I don't know if we did, but I don't think this is a Democratic or Republican issue as much as it's a society issue, United States issue, and we've got to solve it together. And the demand is going up, and Russia, you know, invading Ukraine is going to send it up more because they're now determining the pipeline between Russia and Germany, and that supplies a lot of people. We've got to become self-sufficient. But these prices aren't up, you know, for nothing, you know, and I know that.
Exactly. We do have to be self-sufficient. And the thing about it is we have to stop babying ourselves about some stuff. The gas prices are going up. Is there anything you can do about it? If there is, mm-hmm. then do it. If there's not, then you've got to figure out a way to live with it. Sit down with your budget. Can you afford to put X amount of dollars worth of gas in your car? What can you get by with? What can, you know, how can you alter your schedule or your route in order to make the best use of the gas you got? I mean, I'm one of these people that I kind of try to like to sit down, and I don't like to do the back and forth in and out of the house, you know, and I work from home, but it's like I go out, and that's like in the mornings usually is where when I have to go out. So I like to go out, get my running around that I have to get done by the time the show comes on. And then when I do the show, after the show, everything from that point on is homebound. You know, all mm-hmm. of my work, all of my housework, everything else, that's what I try to do. Now, I'm not always successful, but that means that I'm not spending extra gas, extra time, you know, I'm budgeting. I'm trying to budget my time. I'm trying to budget my money, budgeting gas. And, you know, people are like, well, that's inconvenient. Well, yeah, it may be inconvenient, but at the end of the year when you got to buy those Christmas presents, you know, think about, I mean, and we just don't calculate, you know. You know, look how much money you may have saved by not doing all that extra running around that mm-hmm. you didn't need to do. Okay.
Well,
look at cause and effect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I think I kind of interrupted. I apologize for that. You know, we have to, again, try, and I'm like you too. Since G's Power Hour, my day is divided up BG and AG, and that's before G's Power Hour and after G's Power Hour.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it really is, and as a matter of fact, it's that way for John too. It's like, okay, do you have radio today, or can we go have lunch? Well, no, it's the middle of the week, you know. I got these power hours. So we really, we determine a lot. And I talk myself out of if I can't get an 8 or 9 a.m. appointment with my clients, I talk myself out of the 10 or 11 o'clock. Forget it. I don't do those. And I've tried to schedule 11 o'clock and then try to run your show. That's crazy. So, but I do try to set my schedule to be more, economical. Why? I don't like going out in the middle, going out early in the morning, and I still got stuff to do this evening. And I'm not a runarounder. I like a schedule. I like a route, and I like to get back and get things done because I have money sitting on my desk, and I tell John that all the time. And if I don't sit still and get quiet, I'm not making money. So he can, if he has a day off, I have to prepare to take a day off with him in a lot of different ways, you know.
Yeah.
Because
and, you know, I'm kind of that way, too. It's like, you know, the way my day is right now is I see my husband, sort of see him, because he doesn't turn on the light, and he wakes me up just in time. We do morning prayer, and then I have my time. Usually, if I've been good, I've already packed my gym bag for with my bathing suit and change of clothes. So, you know, 10 minutes to 5, I'm putting on my gym clothes to go to the gym, and we walk out, God willing, 5 after 5. He goes to work. I go to the gym, and I do all of the other running around that I need to do. I go to mass some days, and then I'm back for the show usually. And then after that is if there's housework, if there's client stuff I need to set up, if there's guests that I need to set up, or, you know, whatever else, I have to do that and possibly try to cook dinner between end of show time, which is 12:30, and 4:30. I have to do that because at 4:30, I go run and take a shower and get ready to do my part-time job, call center job from the house between 5 and 10. And it's like going and clocking in at a job. I have to clock in by 5 o'clock, and I clock out at 10 o'clock. By the time I clock out at 10 o'clock, my husband is snoring, okay? So I get to see him around 8 o'clock during my 15-minute break. So is that the prayer time and the 15-minute break? That's when I see my husband Monday through Friday. So when I tell people, no, I'm not going to do this on Sunday or whatever day it is because my husband's off, I have an obligation and a commitment to my marriage as well as everything else. I made vows before God. That's important. And as much as my Gemini husband drives me crazy because I never know which husband I'm going to get on what day, I have to prioritize time with him. So I've had to learn to say no because I had to recognize, no, that's a priority. Those are vows I made before God. I'm committed. I have to do that. You know, I can't make him less of a priority than anything else in my life. So yeah, it's about budgeting time and money and gas and everything else, you know, whatever resources you got, just to make, you know, to have as balanced of a life as possible.
You know, Gretchen, I started this week off. I tried to do a little bit on Sunday to get ready for the week, and I always fix Sunday dinner, so Sunday's a big deal. And John had some measurements that he had to go to Augusta, Georgia to do. Augusta is maybe 40 minutes from here, 45 minutes from here. So he went to do that, and
really?
When he came back home, yeah, it's not that far from Columbia, South Carolina at all. As a matter of fact, we're only 2 hours from Atlanta. So they're on our weekends off together when we get them. It's nothing for us to go to Atlanta for lunch and to shop and then and come on back home. That's really a nice weekend for us. Or to just go and spend Saturday night and come back Sunday. 2 hours and you're there for sure. But he did that and came back, and Sunday dinner was done along with the dessert that he just really loves, which is sweet potato pie. But I guess I said all that to say that was Sunday. It's already Wednesday. The days go by so fast.
Yes,
please
they do.
Please spend time with your spouse and those that you took vows with before God, because these days go by, and we get so caught up Monday through Friday. Okay, well, I gotta, and then before you know it, it's time to go to bed, and before you know it, you know, it's time to start another day, and then it's Friday, you know. I love Fridays. I really don't calm down until Fridays. I consider Saturdays and Sundays mine to do what I want to do, and that may include doing a recording. That may include doing some social media for myself and not my clients. But I encourage you as a woman to take time for yourself and take time for your relationship. These days run by. These years go by so fast. And I've noticed that the older I get, I can remember being in my 20s and 30s and going, I can do graphics and da-da-da when I get older. And I can, man, you know, grab all that you can in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. But now grab what you can and spend quality time with those that you know for sure love you and you love them. I think that's important.
You're absolutely right. In fact, because you talk about 20s and stuff, I remember – when I had time, you call somebody, what you doing? Let's go do this and everything. And I'm like, where did that go? Okay, and I've just decided recently, and I guess this it happens when you get older and stuff like that, but I've decided, you know, it's time to let go of some things. Like this thing that I'm talking about in the evening, it's going away somewhere. As soon as I can figure out how to make it go away, it's going away. Because it's impeding on my time when family and friends call and say, you know, we want to do something. What are you doing? Oh, you're working. Like, no, we got to get rid of that. You know, I used to get advanced screen. You know, like on the movies, advanced screening passes, which was great. You know, you got to see the movie before everybody else did, and you didn't have to pay for it. You know, and we used to hang out in the evenings. I don't have that luxury anymore. Things with my primary job, my real estate, with my brokerage, I have to fight to try to get time to do some of that. And I'm like, no, this is not working. So, and that's why I say we really have to think our lives through a little bit more in terms of what we're doing and how we, you know, utilize our resources. So I knew when I went in, that it was going to be temporary. The thing is, too, you can get so caught up in doing things that you forget temporary is a means to an end, and it's not the end, you know? So, and that's why I say we can get comfortable with stuff, you know, to a degree. So
we can.
Yeah.
You know, let's not take a break.
Well, I was just going to take it for one reason and one reason only, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
But
we
don't have to. We can just make
we'll go ahead.
Double duty tomorrow. Okay.
And
how do you
want to
work it?
We can go ahead. I'm back at the computer. We can pay respects to our sponsor here. And then come back and I wanted to talk about a couple of things. Let me go ahead and get that in there right now. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, dope. And we are here with Princess Cooper, CEO of Never Had It So Good Entertainment. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com.
Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had so good entertainment. Thank you for being with us today, and thanks to Mr. Kevin Anderson for Anderson & Welch. He's going to be on with us Friday. I'm looking forward to that. Always a good conversation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
that's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm. You know it. But in the meantime, I'm here with my CEO, Princess Cooper. I've never had so good entertainment. You had a couple things you wanted to address.
Well, you know, I wanted to actually go back to the verdict yesterday in the hate crimes, federal hate crimes against the McMichaels and the neighbor, and talk about the press conference afterwards. And I don't know if you saw it with Wanda Cooper-Jones, that sticks with me is because my mother was Doris Cooper-Jones, and her husband Marcus, and Ben Crump in the middle. And I wanted to talk about media outlet. No, not outlet, but media. Gosh, what's the word I'm looking for? How to perform, how to handle media, and everything that comes with it. And Ben Crump came out and he raised their hands in victory, which Ben Crump is going to take the opportunity for sure to make sure and promote the victory and that he was a part of that. And then Wanda spoke, and she spoke about the Department of Justice, and I don't want to disrespect her. Ms. Cooper-Jones spoke about the Department of Justice and how they came to this verdict, but she also spoke about the fact that she named names of those who did not want to bring this case to this point. And then they allowed Marcus to speak, which is the father. And Gretchen, he really went off on a tangent about, he said thank you for all he to Wanda and all that she had done to make sure that this happened and to keep this in the forefront of everybody's mind and to push this, push a trial for hate crimes. But also, he really went off on a tangent about how she was the only woman that had kids for him. He didn't want to have kids with nobody else, and he didn't want his kids to have half brothers and sisters. He went off on a tangent, and her whole demeanor changed. And the word I was looking for is media etiquette. She actually left. She was on the other side of Ben Crump. She actually left that and went to the back of where the audience was and stood by somebody else, but she became very embarrassed. And I want to talk about how we can get more etiquette when we know we're going before the camera. Is that not something that Ben Crump talks about? And did you happen to see the press conference, and do you have anything, you know, to say about that?
No, unfortunately, I didn't see it. I only saw the snippets in the news, and that's one of the things that I hate about my schedule right now. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
I think it is important to have media etiquette, although I guess there's a sense of, and I could be wrong, but I lost my child. Why, you know, you're going to try to school me on how I should behave. You know, I'm in my feelings. I feel what I feel, and y'all just going to have to deal with it. And I'm thinking that's probably where his, you know, mindset may have been. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I think attorneys or representatives, I mean, you know, who are going to have clients that are, you know, you want them to garner, I guess, some public sympathy and everything, you're going to
mm-hmm.
have to explain to them what works and what doesn't work. Now, some people will listen and some people won't. He may have been one of those people that, you know, may have been resentful that another brother was telling him how he should behave. But the thing about it is, you know, what's the end goal? And that's why I was saying earlier about how we have to be more thoughtful about our lives in terms of, you know, what we're trying to accomplish, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so I didn't see it. I hate that, and I hate that for her especially because, you know, she's still grieving, and I still, even though, you know, we're all trying to be equal here, I think women feel things. Women who aren't so busy trying to be something other than women, I think women feel things deeper. You know, I think women are more invested. And so, you know, I mean, if anybody might have had a right to be all out there in their feelings, I think maybe she should have. But, you know, I think she recognized that it's about me, but it's not just about me. It's about every other woman who has lost a child unjustly, unfairly, prematurely. And so I have to, whether I want to or not, I have to carry on this responsibility of making sure that that my child, you know, his death, his life was not in vain. I have to make sure that the situation gets recognized for what it is, that, you know, there are a bunch of racist people out there that need to be shut down and put in their place. You know, that we have a system, a government system, a justice system that somewhat works, but is still very flawed, and that needs to be addressed as well. She took on the responsibility of more than just her as his mom. He, on the other hand, that wasn't what he was feeling. That wasn't, you know, it was his loss, and y'all got to deal with my loss. You know, somebody took my son, someone's going to pay.
Yeah, he went way off on a different tangent, but you are correct, and I hope I never know having the loss of a child. I hope I never experience that. This in itself is very hard for me to take in, and experiencing that through my parents was hard enough, I think. But I think there needs to be some conversation about how to use the media to your advantage, and how to,
for sure,
as best as possible, stay on task. I think getting off into why we separated and why I don't have any other kids out there and, you know, all of that, I think that really got a little bit.
Nobody's business.
Yeah, that really,
well,
that really got.
I,
and Ben Crump, to his credit, professionally tried to rein him back in, and he only did it in by giving him reaffirmation, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, and kind of patting him on the back and then moving away from that conversation. But you can, it was a cringe moment for her, who really wanted to talk about the business of the business, and that is that, you know, they were found guilty, and they were found guilty because she was an advocate for justice in this case. And Gretchen, I remember being on social media 2 years ago when I kept seeing Ahmaud Arbery's face and the graduation picture. And I kept seeing it, and I kept passing by it, and then I kept seeing Justice for Ahmaud. I'm like, why am I continuing to see this? But I never investigated until, you know, it started appearing on the news 2 months later about his death and how that happened. And that didn't come about until the video was released, and the neighbor released the video because he was trying to clear himself. But he was found to be an accessory anyway. But, and I said, I'm trying to get away from the media etiquette to the fact that she was really trying to discuss, this was about to be swept under the rug. This was about to be done and over with, because the district attorney there in that neighborhood, in that city, in that county, that the father was a investigator for that DA's office. and retired or pushed, you know, aside, you know, after a while. And so she failed to bring charges against them. And now she's now up on charges and will face her own trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But,
And then just to go back briefly to the father, I think one of the things, and he might have just had a little jealousy, maybe, maybe not known, but you know how we tend to gravitate toward the mothers in a lot of these cases, and maybe he just felt like he wasn't getting his due in terms of public attention and you know, sympathy and consolation and whatnot. That's the other thing I thought about is just, you know, it's always the mom, you know, and the dad's supposed to stand there and be stoic and supportive and everything, and he might have just felt like he wasn't getting his due. That's the other thing.
Well,
but,
goal for us as African Americans is for us to be able to articulate and communicate like the Gretchens of the world, you know, because, and I'm being serious here, I think that crime is happening in our communities and things are being covered up, but when it comes to a forefront, I want us as couples and as, you know, representation for our communities to be prepared for these moments. And sometimes we get up there and we're not prepared and we go so off-centered sometimes. It takes away from the moment and the victory to me. And that's about as much as I can kind of say on air. I can tell you a whole lot of other stuff when we talk personally.
Yeah. And I understand what you're saying. One of the things that I've kind of thought about, too, is that I kind of actually would like to work with some of our nonprofit organizations in terms of, getting messages out there of things that they're trying to do and how to be more media savvy in terms of getting that out there. I think it's not just crisis situations, and it's not just nonprofits, it's businesses too. I can't tell you how many, and this is a whole different conversation, and I would love to have it, but I can't tell you how many times I try to look up information on a business because I've heard about this small business and I want to support this small business, and the website is unavailable or it's down or it's the domain name is for sale, and I'm guilty too, but anyway, or the Facebook page is just basic and it doesn't have all of the bells and whistles that you can have, and you know, for the most part Facebook is free. For the most part, you just have to decide what you're going to do with it in order to put yourself out there, you know. So there's, as opposed to maybe let's say 10, 15 years ago, there's so much more out there social media wise, Instagram, Pinterest, whatever stuff that I don't even use, because I feel like I really could use a social media manager. But there's ways to promote your business so that when someone, if I tell you, oh, you know, go to Princess Cooper's Diner or whatever the case may be, that you don't have a hard time trying to find Princess Cooper's Diner and an updated menu and maybe a cost estimate and some reviews and stuff like that that's going to make me run out the next day or even that afternoon or whatever to go to Princess Cooper's Diner. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to do a better job. And I think I know there's some financial issues involved with that, but I also think that we've been kind of schooled or raised to be kind of modest, so we don't like to talk about ourselves that much. But when you're running a business or you have something that you need to get out there, you have to put yourself out there. I was running a workshop, and someone told I was given an assignment about going to meet somebody in a certain location, and someone said, oh, she wants us to talk to strangers. I'm like, we're realtors. We talk to all kinds of strangers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
It's a way you have to do it. And, you know, yes, you have to be safe while you're doing it. But, yeah, you've got to figure out how to get yourself out there and to get the business that you need to get. But at the same time, for example, you rarely hear me mention my husband's name. You know, he didn't choose to be on a podcast. I did. So I have to pay respect to him and his privacy as well and have some privacy of my own too. So there's got to be a balance. And so I think we need more education in terms of how that's done.
Yeah, and we need to continue the conversation. But I want us to think about how we present ourselves. And we could do a whole show on that, and maybe we need to. And also small businesses who are just playing with it, you better get serious about it. Because if you have a
mm-hmm.
business out there, you need to have a website. There's no more yellow pages where how
mm-hmm.
we grew up. You got to,
right.
even if it's just a one pager that tells them what your services are and how to contact you and schedule an appointment. But if you have a business and you don't have a website or business cards or a domain, then you're just out there playing around. And that's what
mm-hmm.
so many, and you can't let it go down. You can't have it up for 2 months, down for 6 months, up for 2 months. Consistency
yeah.
too, but that's a whole nother show. We are
yeah.
over time, Gretchen. You told
yes,
me to schedule for 90 minutes, but go ahead. Have a great day,
sweetie.
Thank
you all for listening. Have a blessed day, Princess. Thank you all for listening. You all have a blessed day as well. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.